We're living in a time that's just crazier than I could ever remember. I think probably in a different time than our nation has ever faced before. And so we've had this virus, this pandemic that's come into our nation, and it's killed so many people. It's infected so many people. And I've had people say, well, it's not as bad as what we go through every year with the flu. Well, it is, because it's happened in a two-month period. And so we're praying for those who've lost loved ones, and we know people who have died and those things. And we've got all of this going on. Plus, we have shut the economy down because for the first time in the history of the world, we've quarantined healthy people. You know, all throughout the Bible, when somebody would get sick or encounter someone with illness, they would put them outside of the camp, and they would be quarantined. The sick people would, until they were clean, and then they could come back. And so we've quarantined everybody, and so the economy's been shut down. I'm afraid that as we hear the news, we've got to get people back to work. But you hear all these things that are going on. I even heard today that 30% of the restaurants in New Orleans may not reopen. And let me tell you, that's an awful thing for somebody who loves to eat out all the time, and things like that. So we believe, it's a time when people are just afraid and they're worried. And even though the government is giving out money, $2 trillion just about they've given us into our pockets and the pockets of small businesses, and that's not been enough, and it's just tough times. And we've got friends who own businesses that are really struggling, and they're worried about their employees, and they're worried about their own families and things like this. And so it's a time that people are filled with fear and worry and anxiety. But here's one thing I want to tell you, and this is one thing I know. God is a good God. Say that with me. God is a good God, and He is good all the time. Let me tell you, He loves you like you can never even imagine how much He loves you. I mean, not just for your salvation. We know Jesus came. We just celebrated Easter in quarantine again, but we know Jesus came and died on a cross for your sins so we could go to heaven, right? But I believe God is concerned about every detail of your life. You know, God is interested in your life. And so I want to tell you, God is a good God. I just want to give you three things about God's goodness real quick that I believe will help. One, write this down in your outline or just write it on a piece of paper. God is the source of everything that you need. Everything means everything. God is the source of everything that we need to live. Matter of fact, look at this scripture, Psalm 23:1. It says, the Lord, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. You see, David was referring to God as his shepherd, which means that we're sheep. Now, sheep aren't the most intelligent creatures on earth. They need a shepherd to protect them, to feed them, to take care of them. And so with the God as our shepherd, you don't have to look at your job. You don't have to worry about, is it your job or whatever is going to take care of you. God's going to take care of you. Here's the thing that I love this scripture as well. If God got you the first job, He's going to help you with the second job. Look at this scripture. Deuteronomy, God says this, remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. God gave you the intelligence, the skills to do the job that you have. If you change jobs, He's going to give you the ability and the skills to do a new job and to do a new business. And so I want you to understand, sufficiency doesn't come, man, I tell you. Your sufficiency doesn't come from your job. It doesn't come from the government. It comes from God. And so you don't have to look at them. God is the source of everything you need. So don't trust in things that can be taken away. Don't trust in things like, jobs can come and go. Money can come and go. Pastor Kathy and I know a guy lost over $1 million on an airplane ride in investments. I mean, houses can come and go. Relationships come and go. Savings, all this stuff. Government money is going to not be coming your way pretty soon, and things like that. So all these things, we need to put our trust in the good shepherd, into the Lord. And so we need to understand that God is our good shepherd. Now, here's the thing. I want you to write this down and remember this. A shepherd leads, feeds, and meets the needs of his sheep. So God is our shepherd. That means he's going to lead us, he's going to feed us, and he's going to meet our needs. That's what a shepherd does. And so, I mean, your needs are varied at different times. I mean, there have been times that some of us, we need a little discipline, right? You need provision or protection. And sometimes we need comfort when things are going wrong. We need somebody to put their arms around us and say, it's going to be okay. And sometimes we need encouragement. Husbands and wives, you're shepherding each other. Parents, you're shepherds to your children. Bosses, you may be a shepherd to your employees. As your pastors, Pastor Kathy and I are your shepherds. And as best we can, we want to lead you into a closer relationship with God. We want to feed you spiritually. And as best we can, we want to help meet your needs as best we can. And so that's what shepherds do. And the second thing I want you to know about God's goodness is there's nothing you need that God can't supply. You need to know that deep in your heart. There's nothing you need that God can't supply. It says, Paul said this in Philippians 4:19. He said, at this time, God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from his glorious riches. Who's going to supply your needs? God is going to supply your needs. God's going to supply your needs. His provision isn't based on your goodness or your bank account. His provision is based on his love, his grace, his mercy, his goodness, and God's bank account, which is way, way bigger than anything you can imagine. The third thing about God's goodness is this. God doesn't want you to worry about anything. He doesn't want you to worry about anything. Look what it says here in Philippians 4:6. It says, don't worry about anything. That's pretty direct. That means don't worry. It means if you're worrying, stop worrying. But here's what he said. But instead, pray about everything. Every time God tells you to stop doing something, he's going to tell you to start doing something else. So here he says, stop worrying. And start praying. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Now, you can do one of two things. You can either panic, as so many people are doing, or you can pray. And thousands and even millions of people are praying right now. Now, why doesn't God want you to worry? Have you ever thought about that? He says don't worry over and over and over in the scripture. I'll just give you a few things real quick. One, worry is irrational. It's irrational. I mean, Jesus said this. He said, it's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Jesus is basically saying it's not that important, so quit worrying about it. It's irrational. It's useless to worry. When I'm worrying, I can't fix what happened yesterday and I can't prevent what's going to happen tomorrow. And so it's irrational. There's another reason it's irrational is when you begin worrying about something, it gets bigger and bigger in your mind. I mean, you may pass somebody in the morning and you say hello and they don't say hello back. And then all of a sudden you're going, was that person mad at me? And by the end of the day, you think they hate you and they're not going to be your friend anymore. All because they were focused on something and didn't hear you say hello and they walked past you. But you've built this thing up in your mind by worrying. And so it gets bigger than it needs to be. It's irrational. Worry is also contrary to nature. No other creation that God created worries about anything. It's contrary to nature. Matter of fact, Jesus said this, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And then he says this, aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? You see, you and I are way more valuable than the birds, but God takes care of them. And so Jesus is saying, if you take care of the birds, don't you think he's going to take care of you? I want to tell you today, he will. And then Jesus continues. He said, why do you worry about the clothes, your clothes? Look at the lilies. They don't worry about theirs. Yet King Solomon, in all of his glory, was not clothed as beautifully as they are. Let me tell you, flowers are beautiful. They don't have to worry about anything. And God loves you. You're not only God's creation, you're the crown of God's creation. When God created man and woman, he said, it is very good. Not just that it's good, but it is very good. And so God is going to take care of nature, but even more so, he's going to take care of you and me. I want to tell you also that, you know, since it's unnatural to worry, worry is a learned behavior. You learn that from watching somebody worry. And so, you know, you've got, you because you learned it, you can unlearn it. And so I'm not going to go into detail about that, but anything that's learned can be unlearned, and you can learn how not to worry and do that. And part of that is understanding we have a great God who loves us. And these verses also show that God sees the needs. I mean, he knows the needs of the flowers and the birds and all the animals, and he knows your needs as well. But you know what? He loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die on a cross. We just celebrated communion. The animals don't celebrate communion. Jesus didn't die for them. He died for you and for me. And so he's going to take care of you. Third reason God doesn't want you to worry is worry doesn't fix anything. It just doesn't. Doesn't work. Doesn't fix anything. Jesus said, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? They won't make your life any longer, but let me tell you something. You worry enough, it'll shorten your life. It'll shorten your life. You're not going to live longer. He said, none of your worries can add a moment to your life. He also said this in Proverbs. Solomon said this, worry weighs a person down. When you're worried, you feel like you're carrying a weight. Have you ever heard the expression, somebody said, look, you look like you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders. Well, that's what worry does. It weighs you down and eventually will cause you to become depressed and even suffer with despair. Let me tell you, worry is what causes fatigue. It's not work. You work hard during the day. You come home, eat dinner, rest, go to bed. You're refreshed the next day. If you worry all day, you come home, you're bone tired, and you go to sleep and you rest and you're still tired in the morning. That's what worry will do to you. Look what Proverbs says. It says this, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. You want to be healthier than you are? Stop worrying and give your worries to the Lord. The fourth thing, that reason God doesn't want you to worry, is we don't need to worry. Why don't we need to worry? Because he says, Jesus said this, won't he surely care for you? If he takes care of all of nature, don't you think God's going to take care of you, his special creation? You're created in his image. You're valuable enough to him that he sent Jesus to die on a cross for you so you could have overcoming power in your life, so you could have salvation in your life. Don't you believe that God will empower you, that he will take care of you? The fifth thing I want to tell you is worry. It also shows a lack of faith or a lack of belief in God. Every time you worry, we're acting like we don't believe. God has already said, hey, I'm going to supply all your needs from my riches and my glory. But yet, when we worry, we're acting like we don't believe that. And Jesus said, hey, look, when you're worrying, the things that you worry about dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. You see, when we're worrying, we're acting like we don't believe in God. Now, let me just tell you this. If you've never accepted Jesus as your shepherd, as your Savior, you probably ought to worry because you don't have God's protection. You don't have God's provision. But God wants you to have that. He wants to be the good shepherd in your life that will protect you, that will meet your needs, will feed you, and lead you through all those things. So you don't need to be depending on your own strength. Contrast that, you know, Jesus said this, don't be worried and upset. You believe in God, believe in me. So we need to believe in Jesus. When we believe in Jesus, we don't have to worry about all the other stuff. So how do we get rid of worry? I mean, you know, we've got all this worry, and I've just told you, you ought not to be worrying. So how do we get rid of it? Real quick, just a few little things. And number one, I want you to write this down. Ask Jesus to be your shepherd every day. You get up in the morning, and you just say, Jesus, I need you to be my shepherd today. I need you to lead me. I need you to feed me. And I need all of that, Lord. I need you to guide me in everything. You know what's going to happen? You know, he'll feed you. He'll meet your needs. You're going to a meeting. And because you're saying, I need you to be my shepherd, he's going to guide you through that meeting. Or if you're going to work and there's a problem at work, he's going to show you what you need to do. He's going to feed you physically and spiritually. And he's going to lead you to where you need to go. You need to declare to him that he's a good God, that he is your good God, that he is your shepherd. Matter of fact, just say this with me right now. The Lord is my shepherd. Say it with me again. The Lord is my shepherd. We need to declare him the shepherd. Matter of fact, Jesus refers to himself that way. He said, I am the good shepherd. He said, I know my own sheep and they know me. He said, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. Jesus is our good shepherd. And let me tell you, he's a good shepherd. And he knows what we need. I mean, and he wants to provide what we need. He meets needs, he leads us, and he feeds us. And so he wants to do that, but we've got to allow him to do that. And, you know, I just, when I reflect on it, if Jesus loved me enough to die for me, I mean, to come out of heaven and live in amongst his creation and let his creation kill him and then raise from the grave again. You know, it just mind-boggling to me he would do that. But I know if he loves me that much, he loves me enough to where he's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of me through this virus. And as you heard Pastor Kathy tell a phenomenal story about how God protected people, that can happen for you. We just need to pray. Matter of fact, we probably ought to pray something like this every day. Come save us and bless us. Be our shepherd and always carry us in your arms. You might be getting tired right now. I mean, we feel like we're being, quarantined or exiled and there's so much alone time and stuff like that. And you're maybe getting tired and you need to ask Jesus to just carry you in his arms. You remember, I have fun watching little children. I have a lot of fun watching little children that aren't mine. And another mama has to take care of it because little children will be wide open 1 minute. And then you see them in about a minute or two later, and they're just like passed out, hanging over their dad's arms or hanging over their mama to get care of them. They just ran out of gas. And that's what Jesus does for you and me. When we run out of gas, he will carry us. But we've got to let him do that. That's what Jesus does. Second thing here, after you've asked him to be your shepherd, every single day, give Jesus first place in every area of your life. Give Jesus first place in every area of your life. Look what he says. He says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat or drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And here's what he says. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. That means when you go to work tomorrow, you seek the kingdom of God above work. When you're with your children, you seek the kingdom of God above your children. When you are with your family or you're doing whatever it is, you seek the kingdom of God first, above everything else. He said, and then live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. God already knows what you need. And let me tell you, this virus and this stuff that's gone along with it, the economy being wrecked of the world. We hear the news. And it sounds like the United States is imploding. Let me tell you, the problems we have, every country in the world is having. And God, it didn't catch God by surprise. He already knows what you need. Sometimes, you know, I find this, that God will allow needs to come into my life or your life so that we'll turn to him. We get kind of comfortable, you know, and we're thinking, I can handle this. You know, I got it, God. That's okay. I got it. And so he'll let things come into our lives so that we admit to him we have a need. And you know what? When we go to God and we say, God, I just can't do this. I need you. And then when he comes through for us, guess what that does? Makes my faith all the much stronger. Makes your faith all the much stronger. And then each time you go to God and he pulls you through something, he gets you through a difficult time, God, it builds your faith, whether it's in the area of your money or your job. You know, I mean, if you've lost a job, God's provided you another one that you liked even better. You know that God takes care of you. You know, if you've gone through a breakup of a relationship and been blessed with a new relationship, you know that God takes care of you. It just builds your faith. You know, if you've gotten your children grown and gone, you know that God will get you through those teenage years. You know, when you put Jesus first in every area of your life, he's going to help you clarify your priorities. Matter of fact, let me just tell you this. When your priority is to please Jesus, life is real simple. Choices are simple. It makes it real easy. So every day, ask Jesus to be your shepherd. Then give him control over every little area of your life. And then give all your worries to the Lord in prayer. This is very important. You know, you need to make a list of the things you worry about. I mean, you might say, well, I just feel anxious. I don't know what it is. Write that down. Just general anxiety. whatever it is, you write that down, and I want you to mentally picture yourself giving that to the Lord. You give it to the Lord. Look what Peter said. Peter said, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. He cares about you. And let me tell you, he cares about everything in your life. So write those worries down. Give those to him. You can't just forget them or push them down, because let me tell you, what will happen when you push stuff down, eventually it comes up. And it comes up real ugly. It comes up sometimes as an explosion. You know, you just kind of push it down, and all of a sudden, it exploded. But remember, Jesus said, you don't have to worry about stuff, because I am going to meet your needs. And then right after that, he said this. He said, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. God knows what your needs are, but unbelievers worry. And then here's what Paul said. Don't worry about anything, but pray. So you got this contrast. People who don't have Jesus worry, and they probably should, even though worry doesn't work for them either. But as a Christian, Paul's saying, don't worry about anything, but pray. And then he says, tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him. Then he says this, if you do this, you'll experience what? God's peace. I became a Christian many years ago because I wanted God's peace right here. That's what I was searching for. And he said, you'll experience God's peace, which is more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Jesus. So we give those worries to God. We give those worries to Jesus. He's big enough, strong enough, loving enough to take them from us. So we give that. Number four, real quick. Trust God for one day at a time. That's another thing we can do. I can't fix. Typically what happens is we worry about something a month out in the future or something like that. What about, worry about today? He said, focus on today. I can't fix a week from now. I can't do all that kind of stuff. Here's what Jesus said. So don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have its own worries. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And I want to tell you, just like God provided one day supply of food for the Israelites when they were coming out of Egypt, God will give you what you need for today. He'll give you the ideas for today. He'll give you the strength for the day, the patience for the day. He'll give you everything you need for today. And just like he did the Israelites, he's just saying, don't borrow trouble, by worrying about the future. And there's 2 days you ought not to ever worry about. 2 days you should never, ever worry about. That's tomorrow and yesterday. You don't need to worry about either one of those. Now, I'm not saying that you don't plan, because you plan, but there's some reasons to live one day at a time. I mean, there's even a name of a song, One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus. But first, when I worry about tomorrow's problems, when you worry about tomorrow's problems, you miss today's blessings. And another thing is you can't solve tomorrow's problems with today's power. I said, just like the Israelites got their sustenance for the day, God will give you everything you need for today. And tomorrow, he's going to give you what you need for tomorrow. Like I said, it's all right to plan. The whole book of Proverbs is talking about planning. You can plan for the following week, but you can only live today. And so worry about today. Jesus said this, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. The message, I love it. Give your entire attention to what God's doing right now. Don't get all worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. Isn't that great advice? If we could just get that, you know what? The hospitals would be half empty. They would. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. You worry about, what am I going to say to somebody tomorrow? God's going to give you the words. What am I going to do with the virus? You don't have the virus yet, but if you get the virus, God is going to give you what you need to get through. So if you're hearing this, you may be hearing this and you suffer with chronic worry. I want to say a little bit about that. Some people, you've got some chemistry things going on in your body. So if you suffer with worry a lot, you need several things in your life. One, you need a doctor to give you a physical and see if maybe it's a thyroid issue or whatever. Your body is made up of chemistry, and so something can be throwing you off and cause you to worry about something. It could be blood sugar, but you need to get that checked. You may need some medicine to help with that. And somebody said, well, I'd rather depend on the Lord than have some medicine. Well, the guy that invented the medicine depended on the Lord to give him the idea and intelligence to invent the medicine. And so, you know, you've got to look at that. You also need loving people around you, like we have here at our church, at River Church, and our Connect groups, and then our just our times together that can help you and coach you and mentor you and listen to you. And so worrying just doesn't work. Worrying just doesn't work. So here, we need to understand. So one last principle I want to just share with you real quick. God is going to bring you through this, but what he gives to me, he wants to give through me. What God gives me, he wants to give through me. In other words, God wants to meet your needs, and he will meet your needs. But he's going to meet your needs so that then you can go along and help someone else who's going through their needs. You've raised teenagers and gotten them through out into where they're surviving on their own. Guess what? You can help somebody with a 13-year-old. You've gone through the virus and come out the other end. You can share with somebody, who's fixing to go through that. We've got people in our church that have had cancer that have shared their story and their encouragement with those who just got a diagnosis of cancer. God brings you through things to help you help other people with that. Matter of fact, I'm going to close with a scripture. I just want to share this with you, and I'll make some comments as we go, and then I'm going to pray. It's from Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah said this, share your food with the hungry and open your homes to the homeless poor. We've got people in our church that have done that. It says, give clothes to those who have nothing to wear, and don't refuse to help even your own relatives. Now, I know some of you are going, no, I'm not letting my cousin in. But, you know, don't refuse this. And then he says, here's what he said. Once you share food, once you've opened your home, once you've given clothes, in other words, you're meeting people's needs, he says this, then my favor will shine on you. How many of you want God's favor in your life? He said, then my favor will shine on you like the morning sun, and your wounds, all those emotional hurts that we have, all those emotional hurts, maybe physical ailments as well, but those emotional hurts, that baggage you've been carrying. He said, when my favor shines on you like the morning sun, he said, I will heal your wounds quickly. He said, I will always be with you to save you. My presence will protect you on every side. That's what happens when we do what God wants us to do. This is a promise from the Word of God. Okay, and I want you to understand it. So he says, he goes on to say, when you pray, I will answer you. When you call to me, I'll respond. He said, if you put an end to oppression, you're thinking, I don't oppress anybody. How many of you ever insulted somebody or made fun of somebody or made a sarcastic remark or something like that? He said, if you put an end to oppression, to every gesture of contempt and to every evil word, he said, if you give food to the hungry and satisfy those who are in need, he said, then the darkness around you will turn into the brightness of noon. He said, when we do these things, he's going to illuminate our world. So you'll see things that you couldn't see before. And he's going to say this, and I will always guide you. Anybody besides me need guiding by God? I mean, I need that every day. He said, I will always guide you and satisfy you with good things. I will keep you strong and well. Anybody want to be strong and well right now in this virus time? Absolutely. You'll be like a garden that has plenty of water, like a spring of water that never runs dry. Those are promises from the Word of God. Now, the first step in having those promises and having God be able to do that is for you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal shepherd, as your Savior. And so I want you, wherever you are right now, I want you to close your eyes unless you're driving. I want to just say a quick prayer with you. And I want you to understand that Jesus came, he lived, he died on a cross so you could invite him to be your Savior and have a relationship with God, because your sin has separated you from God. See, God's not a political figure or anything like that. He's just a holy God, and our sin has separated it. But he sent the solution to us in Jesus. There's no way we can be good enough, but Jesus died on a cross for your forgiveness and my forgiveness. And when we accept him as our Savior, our shepherd, he comes in and he leads us, he feeds us, and he meets our needs. And so I want you to pray with me just real quick. Dear God, I admit to you that I'm a sinner. I've lived my life my way and not yours. Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for my sin. Come into my life and be the Savior and shepherd of my life. As best I can, I give you control of my life so that I can have the power to live for you every single day. Jesus, guide me. Guide me through everything that I'm going to encounter because you're my good shepherd. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, God just came into your life. The presence of Jesus is in your life, and he is your good shepherd. And every promise we looked at today is yours. I want to thank you for being with us. I want to say a quick prayer of benediction and as you get ready to go. So, Father, I just thank you for each person that's hearing my voice. And we pray, God, that you would work in their lives, work miracles in their lives, that you'd protect income, whether they change jobs or whatever it is, God, you would protect their incomes and their families, that you would provide in ways they never imagined. God, for all of our fellow believers, I just pray that, Lord, you help us all to be bold, to rise up, to share your love with everyone we come in contact with. And we'll give you the honor and glory for all the results. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, for Pastor Kathy and myself, Pastor Robert, I just want to thank you for being here with us. I think we're going to pop up a couple of messages during the week, and I'm going to try and talk Pastor Kathy into doing that message. That was a great word she shared. I want to hear more about it. And so I encourage you to stay in the Word. Look for us on Facebook this week, and we'll let you know whether the weather, be praying for good weather. We'll let you know whether we're going to be able to do church outside for Mother's Day. It's a great day to have church outside. So God bless you. Thank you for being here. All right. All right. I'll get this uploading.